Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or you can listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is things that fire off the synapses in our brain. Each of my two guests will be talking about a subject that fires off pleasure neurons in our brain, although each for very different reasons. My first guest will talk about a controversial subject coming up on the November ballot for voters. It's a subject that elicits strong emotions for both pro and con. It's the subject of legalizing marijuana. Dave Ford is blessed with extraordinary wit, energy, and initiative. By the time he had graduated from high school, he had already published his own newspaper, produced elaborate stage shows, created and hosted a popular radio show, and interviewed legendary Hollywood stars. He was 8 when he first heard about happy grass, and he was immediately confronted with two radically opposite points of view about cannabis. Ordinary people told him that marijuana eased pain and made them relaxed and peaceful. The government and his father told him that it turned you into violent lunatics. His mother told him, find out for yourself, and that's exactly what he did. He smoked his first joint at age 17, and in the 6 decades since, he's used pot to prime his creativity in enterprises in a variety of endeavors. He has a very colorful past. We don't have the time to go into his incredibly colorful past, but we might get him back for another show for that. He's now devoting his energies to the growing of medical marijuana movement, and his first book is titled Marijuana, Not Guilty as Charged. His latest book is called Good Medicine, Great Sex, and it profiles his own exciting life story to reveal new evidence of the benefits and effects of growing marijuana. For the record, and this is a disclaimer, Dave is against teenagers using any drug, including marijuana, except recommended by a physician. Welcome to the show, Dave. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here with your audience.
Well, thank you for joining us, because this is such a controversial subject. I want to hear your side of the argument. So let's start right away with, you assert in the book, the case against marijuana is the hysterical propaganda of drug warriors. Why do you say that?
Oh, because that's exactly what it is, Bill. It's hysterical. Marijuana in 5,000 years of recorded history has never caused not even one, toxicity-related death. Compare that to alcohol that takes the lives of over 100,000 Americans each year. And, you know, ask any police officer. Just say, you know, can I ask you a question, officer? And he'll usually, or she'll usually say, sure, go ahead. And say, how many domestic violence do you write up in homes where the only drug was marijuana? And you'll find people, find the officers generally scratching their heads saying, I can't think of any. How about alcohol? Boom, they'll come right out and tell you that's where the violence occurs. Marijuana is not a violence drug. It's a drug of peace. It's a drug of relaxation. It gives the impression that time is slowed down, which has many fine assets. One of them is it causes you to drive slower. And also, if you like nice long orgasms, it gives the impression that making love lasts a lot longer than it actually does. And it has a wonderful medical value that is just amazing. that someday marijuana will be recognized as a miracle drug for all of the medical things that it takes care of.
Well, that's all very positive. So how did marijuana get such a bad rap? Where did all this bad propaganda come from?
From the government. You know, there was a time when, like, you couldn't tax marijuana. You could tax alcohol. So alcohol is okay. You're a good American, but don't smoke one of those dangerous marijuana things. And so it just constantly magnified, Bill, where when the somebody comes out from the government saying that marijuana is a bad drug, the police will pick it up, radio shows pick it up, newspapers pick it up. And, you know, I think their main thinking is if it bleeds, it leads.
Right. Well, that's the typical news thing. You're lighting up the phones here, Dave. We have a caller. Nanette wants to speak with you. Nanette, are you there?
I am.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. Do you have a question or a comment for Dave?
I have a real important comment.
Sure. What is it?
Well, because of experience with my own, with two of my children, smoking the marijuana before they were 18. You see, there's a problem with the marijuana if your brain hasn't developed yet, because it's not going to. And you can ask people who are in that state of raising children and watching what happens with it. The brain can never, once it's developed, then there's no problem with the darn marijuana, except, you know, it's treated like it's an alcohol. You're driving the car, you can get in trouble. Because then I married a fellow that I didn't know was into marijuana. And, you know, you go through red lights when it's supposed to be going, you know, you think that they were green first. It's like so scary. So I got away from him.
That's
good. Didn't know anything about the marijuana, but this child of mine, the neighbors, I guess they were growing it, you know, between the fences or something. And the other child, too, and they lose everything. They can't find where they put their car half the time. Their wetsuits are gone where they put them. I mean, it's just a disaster. If they're not developed mentally, they don't want to get into it.
I think that that's a good comment. Dave, I know that we said the disclaimer at the front that you're against teenagers using drugs of any kind except recommended by a physician. But what would you say to Nanette? I think she's got some valid points.
Absolutely, Nanette. And, you know, my proposal constantly is, kids should not be doing any drugs, including pot, because, as you said, you know, their brain doesn't develop actually until they're coming into their early 20s.
That's right.
So, no, you're right. You're a good mom.
Thank you.
Nanette, thank you. That was a great comment, and thank you for sharing that personal experience with us.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye. Thank you for being a loyal listener. All right, Dave, so we're starting to light up the phones. Now, I think about marijuana and the propaganda that goes along with that, as you say it. I think of movies like Reefer Madness, which portrays marijuana as a mind-altering gateway drug that leads you down the path of disaster. And you say, quite the contrary, that marijuana is harmless. So how do we reconcile these two very radical different views?
Well, sometimes we have to do the experience if we're adults and try it rather than just hear what someone is printing something negative. And many of them have never even smoked marijuana. They've just gotten read information from various books and concluded that marijuana is a dangerous drug. Well, the fact is, it is not a dangerous drug. And again, I emphasize, I do not condone the use of marijuana or any drug for teenagers at all, unless it happens to be recommended by a medical doctor for a child that may be suffering from chemotherapy or some other such thing with cancer. It's a drug that actually is it's nature's tranquilizer compared to alcohol. You know, you smoke too much pot, the inevitable result is you're going to fall asleep. You smoke too much alcohol, or rather drink too much alcohol, and chances are you could be open to getting into dissertations, to put it mildly, or fights with friends.
Well, now, just to be clear on this, you drink too much alcohol, you're going to pass out, essentially fall asleep as well, taken to its extreme. But
that's true.
Let me put this question to you, Dave, because this is a good one. I love that you've got a challenge out there. The DEA, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, has stated repeatedly that marijuana has no medical value. They've classified it as a Schedule 1 drug. It's a controlled substance along with drugs like heroin. But you've got a standing offer. You're going to pay the DEA $1 million if they can prove that marijuana has no medical value. That's a very daring offer. How can you be so sure that marijuana has medical value?
Oh, because there's no question. It's been scientifically proven time and again that it does have medical value. You know, I mean, imagine a drug, Bill, that reduces nausea, prevents vomiting, and increases appetite in people with cancer, anorexia, and AIDS. It reduces eye pressure in glaucoma patients, preventing blindness, and controls muscle spasms in people with cerebral palsy and multiple sclerosis. Some patients with epilepsy enjoy substantial improvement when they combine pot with their prescribed medications to control seizures. Marijuana reduces many forms of chronic pain, decreases anxiety and depression, eases withdrawal from alcohol, cocaine, nicotine cigarettes, and heroin, and it reduces the pain of childbirth and premenstrual syndrome. You know, reflect that this drug, which can be grown at home for free or purchased for actually pennies a dose, has fewer side effects than over-the-counter drugs, including aspirin. And consider also that it's supported for healing use by medical experts and prodigious scientific organizations. And now stamp that drug illegal and brand its users as criminals.
Well, now, help me to understand, Dave, because I hear what you're saying. So if all of these studies are going on that prove that medical marijuana is, in fact, beneficial, and those are happening in one branch of the government, the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, and yet you've got the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, over here, another federal agency, how come the information from the FDA isn't flowing to the DEA and the two aren't on the same page?
Well, frequently that's what happens, as you know, in our government. Two agencies could be diametrically opposed, and that's just a perfect example right there of one.
I find that hard to believe, Dave. Our government doesn't talk from one branch of the government to the other. I find that almost inconceivable.
Okay.
I'm being facetious, of course. Dave, we've got to take a break for a couple of short commercial messages. When we get back, I want to dive into Proposition 19 in some depth, because this is coming up on the ballot. Voters need to be informed about what they're voting on. So when we get back, let's explore Proposition 19 and all of its consequences and the unintended consequences.
We'll be
back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on KKZZ AM 1400 Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is things that fire off the synapses in our brains. We're talking to an expert, Dave Ford, on marijuana, its use, and its value in society. And couldn't be more timely, Dave, to have you on the show, because coming up in November, we're going to be voting right here in California on Proposition 19. Now, for voters who might not yet be familiar with that proposition, it is known as the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. And that's coming up on the ballot, so people are going to be making an informed decision about that. Dave, briefly, tell us what it is that voters are going to be voting on.
They're going to be voting on whether or not they could buy marijuana legally, is, I think, the bottom line is going to be.
All right, so it's all about the buying of marijuana, and in so doing, we would regulate the production and distribution of it, as well as tax the proceeds for it. So just like alcohol and cigarettes, there would be a tax on it.
Absolutely.
So break it down for us. Give us some pros and give us some cons of this Proposition 19 that's coming up on the ballot.
Well, you know, the politicians regulate things that normally we would not legalize, except money. Money comes into the picture, where we could charge taxes. And I think that's exactly the case here. Although I firmly believe, compared to alcohol and other drugs, marijuana is certainly the least harmful, but it does have its people, you know, that are constantly putting it down, saying it's a very dangerous drug. It leads to heroin. Incidentally, that's not true. It's never been proven. But it is something that those against marijuana typically will say it's a stepping stone to amphetamines. It's a stepping stone to heroin and so on. Those things are not true any more than heroin would be a stepping stone to marijuana. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
All right. Well, now, you live in California, just like we all do, listening to the sound of our voice here. We know that the state is in deep financial trouble. I mean, we've got a shortfall, and we can't even get a budget passed up in Sacramento. The taxing and the regulating of marijuana would bring in $1 billion, that's a billion with a B, to the coffers of the state government every single year. Why is that a good or a bad thing, Dave?
I believe it's a good idea because, first of all, it takes the pressure off of the growers. If they're going to allow that, they're going to have to stop arresting people who grow marijuana. And consequently, if you're no longer afraid of producing marijuana in your gardens, it's going to lower the price. Presently, medical quality marijuana sells for approximately $400 an ounce. Now, if those same growers were not afraid of being put in prison for growing a drug, they would be happy to sell marijuana for, I've talked to dozens of them, for as low as $50 or $75 an ounce, and it would be top medical quality.
All right, but let's look at that, and let's examine that a little bit more deeply,
sure.
Dave, because we tax and regulate cigarettes, we regulate alcohol. And you're saying that there will be this home industry or this cottage industry of grow your own pot, that I'm going to go out in my backyard and I'm going to scratch out a little plot of land where I'm going to start growing some marijuana plants. But in reality, there are no homegrown tobacco farms. There are no homegrown distilleries. All of that goes to big business over time, so that you buy your cigarettes from Philip Morris, you buy your liquor from Seagram's or whomever is making the liquor for you. The cottage industry will completely go away and we'll move towards commercial farming, won't we?
Absolutely, and I should have made that clear. You're right. Yes, it would be some large growers.
All right, so we'd eventually move into large growers. The large growers would be taxed, they would be regulated, and so forth.
Yeah.
Are there any unforeseen consequences of regulating and taxing marijuana?
I can't. You know, as long as they use the same controls that they do with alcohol, as far as, you know, protecting children and, you know, having to prove identification, age, and so on. And where it would be sold, those things would be worked out.
Well, but I think you would agree that today, underage children can buy cigarettes and alcohol in stores, even though we live in a regulated and taxed world for those things. What's going to happen when marijuana gets legalized?
Well, I think they're going to be a little more careful than they are now. And that depends a lot, too, on the judiciary, on, you know, how strongly want to come in and punish people who would sell marijuana to an underage child.
All right, so it all comes down to the enforcement.
Enforcement.
And we'll talk about enforcement later, because we've had some police people representing the various police departments, Oxnard and Ventura Inn, talking about Prop 19. But we'll come back to that in just a minute. One of the dilemmas that I see, it's a conundrum for us, is let's say in November, Proposition 19 passes. All right, so now we've legalized marijuana, the sale and distribution of it. However, on a federal level, it's still illegal to sell and distribute marijuana. So right away, we've got a conundrum, because here's California says, yeah, it's legal here, but the feds will say, no, it's illegal under federal law. How do we resolve that conundrum?
That's true. Well, generally what the federal government has been doing is backing off if a state itself has more or less legalized it, allowed it to be legalized. And that's particularly shows when medical marijuana is grown and sold. The feds rarely will do anything negative about that if it's proven that it is being used as medicine.
All right, so it becomes an issue of states' rights versus federal rights.
Exactly.
And the feds will back off in the case of states.
Yes.
Well,
right.
I'm going to ask you a question. This is going to put you on the spot, because you're not a lawmaker, so you may not have all the answers to this. But as with anything, legalizing marijuana, the devil is in the details. So give us an idea of how sale and distribution of marijuana will be controlled and taxed if this gets passed in November?
Well, I would like to think that whoever is involved would be growing nothing for those who plan to sell it, growing quality marijuana, and capitalism, I feel, will regulate the price. And I think, whereas today quality medical marijuana sells, as I mentioned, for approximately $400 an ounce,
mm-hmm.
I believe it would go down to like $60, something like that. Maybe I've talked to dozens of growers. Some of them said they'd be happy to get $50 an ounce if they weren't afraid that the police were looking over their shoulder ready to bust them and send them to prison.
Mm-hmm. All right. And how would it be taxed? I mean, and at what point would it be taxed? Is it taxed at the point of distribution? Is it taxed when the farmer sells it to the distributor and then from when the distributor sells it to the end user? Where would the tax points be?
I would say where the farmer sells it to the distributor, and it would be taxed at 50. I'm just suggesting $50 an ounce would help our our ill budget very nicely.
Oh, sure. So you would virtually double the price. It would go from $50 is what the farmer is willing to accept. You'd add another tax of $50, so now the price to the consumer is up to $100.
Right, instead of 400,
which is still a quarter of what they're currently paying on the illegal market.
Exactly.
All right. Well, now, how will local law enforcement handle this? Because now it becomes very interesting. There's so many different scenarios, but the police have to deal with this. And what I've heard from police officers, and this is coming back to my earlier comment, police officers that have been in here and talked to us about it, is they're faced with budget shortfalls. They're cutting staff. They're not hiring new people. And yet you're going to have this new need to enforce marijuana and its distribution that's out there. So how will the police, local police, start to handle it once marijuana becomes legalized?
I think they're just going to have to go along with the majority of the people. If, the people, there's, no one is fighting and there are no killings, I think they'll back off as far as thinking, well, it's still federally illegal, so let's go out and, with the fines the people are going to have to pay after we arrest them, they'll put some money, in our coffers. I think that it's going to be pretty mellow, actually, when they find the majority of people want it, especially in that it has been proven to have medical use.
All right. Well, but let me give you a for instance. Now, I admit that this is a little bit far-fetched, but let's just say, for instance, that Prop 19 passes. All right. Then I'm starting to grow my own marijuana for my recreational purposes in my yard. I pay my taxes. I buy my permits. Whatever I need to do, I'm all very legitimate. But what happens if some child, some teenager, jumps over the fence in my yard and steals my marijuana, goes off and smokes it, and I report it to the police? What happens then? Now the police are in a bit of a conundrum because it's legal, but here's a kid who jumped the fence to steal something illegally.
Right. Well, that's interesting because I had exactly that happen at my home. I had a doctor's written recommendation that I can use marijuana medically, and I grew some plants behind my house. Like six plants, they were ready to harvest, and each day I'd go out and I'd see, oh my gosh, I let them go just one more inch. Well, I did that a couple of times, and I finally got a machete, big knife, and I decided this is the day I'm going to harvest, and they were gone.
Oh no.
I called the police, and the officer was very nice here in Sonoma, and I said, I'd like to have the police chief come out, if he would, please, to my home. My marijuana has been stolen. And the lady on the phone said, Mr. Ford, are you sure you want to report this? I said, absolutely. I have a medical license to grow it, an approval from a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So a sergeant came out along with a female officer, and they wrote down the information. And I picked a piece of the cola off of the fence going out into the vineyard that separates my home and swimming pool from the vineyard, and I put this up against her nose, and I said, see, it looks like they climbed over the fence, and she says, get that away from my nose. I might be urine tested. Like smelling it would make her positive for marijuana.
Well, that just goes to show you the different types of misconceptions that people have out there. Dave, we're quickly running out of time, but I wanted to ask you one final question. In taking this stance on marijuana, being very pro-marijuana, has that had any impact on you personally? Have you been targeted by police or government agencies for your position?
Never. Yet I've gone to parties and I've been surprised almost being treated like a celebrity or at least an authority on the subject. Someone will say, there's Dave Fort. He's the guy that always writes letters to the editor. He's the one that has those two national books out on the subject. One of them is Good Medicine, Great Sex. I hear it's a great book. It's almost 500 pages, hardcover. And someone else will say, hey, didn't you also write that other book, Marijuana, Not Guilty as Charged? And I said, yes, I wrote them both. And I would like to mention, if you don't mind, Bill, that they are on my website on www.davidrford.com. I offer a lot of free advice. I answer any personal questions people might have on the subject. And the books are on a discount on my website. And also, they can get them on Amazon.com. And I guarantee my books, if these aren't the best books on the subject you have ever read, I'll give you your money back personally.
Well, that's a very strong guarantee. We're talking to Dave Fort, everybody, author of the book, Marijuana, Not Guilty as Charged. Dave, the time does fly by quickly, but before I let you go, I want you to tell me what all of these people have in common, if you will, please. Carl Sagan, the Beatles, all four of them, Paul, John, George, Ringo.
All smoked.
Louis Armstrong. Willie Nelson, Bing Crosby.
Louis Armstrong turned Bing Crosby on to smoking pot. And when I interviewed Bing Crosby, I already knew that he smoked pot. And after I interviewed him, he was on Barbara Walters' show. And she said, if your daughter ever came home from school, Bing, and she said she had smoked a marijuana cigarette, what would you do? And due to my interview, he says, it should be legalized. I had to laugh because I got him to say that when I interviewed him.
David R. Fort, you are truly a treasure. Fun to talk to about Proposition 19, about the legalization of marijuana. Remember, voters, it's going to be on the ballot November the 2nd, so get informed about the issues before you go out and vote. David, thanks so much for being our guest. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Please do. You're terrific, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's very kind.